This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Does it mean we can only start a salah at the age of 7? No. It means you start encouraging them. But by the time they reach 7, you become very serious with your orders and you say, boy, we have to pray. Order them. Boy, next morning, I'm still asleep. My alarm is still off and somebody's waking up. I say, Baba, let's go. Where are we going? A masjid. Let's go to the masjid. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You may be wondering, who is this person with the nice outfit? I'm a black version of Mufti Mink. This is who I am. See, last night I got jealous of everybody because every one of them had a nice bish, they had a nice qutra, and they came to the stage. I was the only one who did not have this one. So today I said, forget about these guys. I'm getting my own. So mashallah, somebody donated. They said, alhamdulillah. Just kidding. Now, as mashallah, tabarakallah, have you heard the recitation of Sheikh Hazza'? If you like to say, Allahu Akbar. See, the brother, he said, who wants to listen to Surah Al-Hujurat? I think I was the only one who raised his hand. They said, who wants to listen to Surah Al-Kahf? I think me and other Somalis. And then he said, who wants to listen to Surah Al-Yasin? All the Indians and Pakistanis, mashallah. By default, we lost. Indian community and Pakistani community, you have this connection with Surah Yasin. We all love all 114 surahs, but you guys have this connection with Surah Yasin. Was the recitation beautiful? Subhanallah. See, if any young man wants to get married, if you want a wife, all you need to do is get this CD from Sheikh Hazza, go and rent a nice car, and then dress like him, and bless that, mashallah, CD, and open the doors. Just make sure you park your car on the sister's side. And you will see all the sisters running, tabarakallah. And you will be standing there saying, only four sisters, only four sisters. And some sister probably will say, I'm a Shia, take me too. 9 is permissible. You know Shia, they can have 9 wives. You know that? That could happen. My talk today is to be very short, inshallah. And I want to talk about how to raise happy children. And I want to say, first of all, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these children to us. And they are pure. They're not corrupted by anybody. When Allah gave us this gift, they are ours to maintain, to mind them, to make sure that we raise them according to the deen of Allah. And then we as parents, we shape them. Some of them are righteous, حُفَّاظ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Some of them are da'is. Some of them are ulama. Some of them are thieves. Some of them are liars. But it all mostly comes back to the upbringing of the parents. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَبَوَّهُ their parents will either make them Jew, Yahudi, Nasrani, or Majusi. So when you got the gift, they were pure. So I want to go over a few steps how to raise children. From the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the children are the ni'mah. And we were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise them well, raise them in ibadah. Allah said in the Quran, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. See, what did he say? He said, first thing that you need to make sure that these children understand, that you make sure they understand the importance of salah. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Order your family, order your children to perform salah. But Allah did not stop there. But he said, وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And have patience in that. Have sabr in that. Why? Because when you order your child to pray and to get up for Salatul Fajr, most of the children, what do? They go back to sleep. You wake them up before you even brush your teeth, before you even start using the washroom, before you even start making wudu, and before you even get ready. And you say, son, get up for Fajr. We go into the masjid. And you go into the bathroom and you do what you need to do. And then you come back. What is he doing? The loser is still snoring. Then you wake him up. Then you try that 4 or 5 times and forget this. He's useless. But Allah says, no. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهِ. Have sabr with that. Have sabr. That's how you shape his personality. That's how you shape them becoming better Muslims, better mu'mineen, better huffad, better da'is. That's how it starts. That's when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at the age of 7, order them to perform the salah. At the age of 10, be serious with them. Does it mean we can only start the salah at the age of 7? No. It means you start encouraging them. But by the time they reach 7, you become very serious with your orders. And you say, boy, we have to pray. Order them. By the age of 10, it becomes punishable. If they don't pray, there's a consequences. If they don't perform the salah at that age, there are consequences. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to you and me, قُوَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Protect yourself and your children. And the first one to protect after yourself are your children and your family, your wives. So how can we make these children, you know, love the deen of Allah? How can we make them happy? How can we make them, you know, let us do the following. Number one, make Islam rewarding, not punishing source. When your child goes to Salatul Fajr, what do you do? What do you do? You say, okay, get ready for school. Okay, khalas, we're ready. But that is not the right approach. He just went with you to Salatul Fajr. And he thinks he accomplished something, mashallah, tabarakallah. What do? You reward them for every Fajr, for every Fajr. See, this is what I tried in Canada. There's a coffee shop called Tim Hortons. Anyone is familiar with that? Tim Hortons is the best coffee in the world. The best coffee. And they have the best donuts in the world. And they are every single corner. We have more Tim Hortons than Masajid. I guarantee you that. So I said to my sons, let us get up for Fajr. Let us go to the masjid. And you know, they drag their feet, and no matter how I praise them in the morning, they would not, you know, they wouldn't care that much. Okay, we pray, let's get ready. But then I said to my little ones, I said, if we pray Fajr and you do your part of the Quran after Fajr, we're going to start by Tim Hortons. Boy, next morning, I'm still asleep. My alarm is still off and somebody's waking up. I said, Baba, let's go. Where are we going? Tim Hortons, I mean a masjid. Let's go to the masjid. Now they want to wake me up for Fajr because they are getting reward for what they did about Islam. They're getting rewarded for that. There was a teacher in our masjid, mashallah, his name is Sheikh Hussein, hafidahullah. And the kids, they come and they go. They come and they go. And you see these kids, you know, dragging their feet and coming to the masjid. They don't want to read the Quran, but they had to do it because their parents pushed them. And then they leave running, coming to the masjid, dragging their feet. They're running like they are prisoners being released from prison. And they don't look back. Sometimes you see them carrying their jacket on their shoulders, one shoe, mashallah, and is running out of the masjid with no shoes. I said, Sheikh, okay, can we do something better? He said, what can we do? He said, why don't we do this? Every time that someone memorizes one juz, let us have a party in the masjid. Halal party. Let them jam, mashallah. Let them have fun. So one of them finished the juz amma, and he does pizza party. And Tim Hortons, طبعا رضي الله عنه. And you can see how eager these children are. You should see how eager they are. Oh, today, Ahmed is finishing the Quran. Oh, mashallah. When are you going to finish your juz amma? Oh, next week. I'm coming. Not for the sake of Allah, for the pizza, of course. But it's acceptable. It's acceptable. And it became a challenge. It became competition. And the mothers, mashallah, they got excited. Why? Now the children are excited to come to the Quran. They're excited to eat pizza. They're excited to have fun at the masjid. So first thing that we need to do is make sure children love Islam. Love Islam. Reward them, making them rewarding methods. Second thing that you do, tell them about the stories of the Sahaba. Sirah. See, 70% of the Quran is about qasas. Stories. How many times Surah Qissah to Musa and Fir'aun? How many times Allah repeated in the Quran? Once? Twice? 50 times? 100 times? More than that. Why? Because through stories, we learn, and they learn, and they enjoy. You should see the kids, mashallah. I have little kids again. I have 6 of them. Last time I count, there were 6. Allah knows what happened since. You know, there were 6. So let me tell you this. The first sahabi I teach my children is, who do you think he is? Take a guess. First sahabi that I teach. Huh? Mus'ab bin Umayr, radiyallahu anhu. No. Bilal, because I'm black. No discrimination. I'm sure all the Indians, they teach about Salman al-Farisi first, but just don't admit it. I teach him about Bilal, not because he's black, no, seriously. I teach him about Bilal. Why? Because he's living in an environment. The color of skin of his, you know, resembles the color of skin of Bilal. They struggle. He's very similar, you know. By the way, he's not as dark as me, but by the way, that kid, just side story, he wants to be black so bad. Have you ever seen a kid who wants to be black? My kid. One day I'm driving and I see him, he's sticking his little arm outside the window and I'm driving. And I say, Eliasin, what are you doing? He say, I want to be like your daddy. And I say, what am I? He said, you're black, and I want to be black. And now he sticks 2 hands outside. Why Bilal? Because he can relate. And out of the Sahaba, physically, the one that was tortured most was Bilal. And in Bilal, he learns, you know, how to have his personality, his own personality. You know, and I tell him, you know, how there was a huge rock on his chest. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf is pushing him. He says, Ya Bilal, you know, praise Hubal, praise my Lord, and I'll lift the rock on from your chest. And Bilal is saying, Ahad and Ahad. And he looked at me and said, Daddy, was it a fake rock or was it a real rock? I said, no, it was a real rock. And he said, he didn't give up. No, he didn't give up. And what was he saying? Ahad and Ahad. What does it mean? I said, there's only one Lord. There's only one Lord. And subhanAllah, then I play wrestling with that boy. So I put him down and I put my weight on him. And he says, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun. And he tried to lift me up and throw me, Ahadun Ahad. I said, boy, give up. Boy, give up. And he said, Bilal never gave up. Allahu Akbar. And he throws me off and I jump off the bed. He says, yeah. Be happy. And the most happiest moment is when he's learning, but he's also enjoying this. He's enjoying this. And that's how we teach our children. Bring stories of the Sahaba. Bring what Abu Bakr did, radiyallahu anhu. Tell them the stories of all these people who struggle for the sake of Allah. Struggle for the sake of Allah. My kid, same kid, Yasin. I said, he said, he come to the park and his mother's mad at him. And I said, what did he do? She said, he started fighting with kids at the park. And I said, Baba, why did you do that? He said, because he pushed me. I said, okay, you move on. He said, no, I'm a Muslim. Muslim, don't give up. I said, what did I raise, a little terrorist? I said, okay, don't do this. You know, just if they push you, tell their mothers, tell your father. And I said, no. Bilal, did he tell his mom? I said, no. He said, I'm not going to tell mommy. And I was like, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wallahi, you don't know how much lessons they learn just by teaching them through that. The Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu. The other thing is, number three, as a parent, the reality, you are the ultimate role model for your child. You know that? You are the ultimate role model. Your child, he sees you the best father ever. He sees you the best mother ever. They don't know anyone who's better than you. Wallahi, like my little boy Mikhail, when he was 3 years old, you know, he's 3 years old. And I gave a khutbah. I still remember, now he's 19. Imagine, 19, I'm an old man. You know, he's 19 years old. And I remember 3 years old, I gave khutbah and I said, sit down, before the khutbah, sit down. And he was listening to me like this. And after I finished the khutbah, he came before I get to the mihrab. And he said, Daddy, that was the best khutbah ever. Wallahi, I don't think he understood anything. But because he saw his father on the podium, you know, wearing imamah, giving, and he thought, I am the best man ever. Ever. And that's why even when I tell them stories, I was telling them Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. And my little daughter, Tammy, I still remember. And I said, Hamza was the most powerful Sahabi. You know, he would grab someone like this and throw it at him like that. And she said, he was more stronger than you? I said, I don't know, you know. I don't know, you know. I really don't know, but I'm assuming. But I didn't want to say, you know, I don't want to look bad. But I said, I think maybe, but I don't know. I had to stay cool in my children's, you know. But what I'm saying, they see you. So if they see you praying Qiyam al-Layl every night or going to the masjid, whether it's raining, snowing, isha, you know, sunny, they don't care. They see you doing something good, they want to do it. They see you when day you go into salah, when it fits you, when day you don't go, when day you read surah, one jum'ah you read surah al-kahf, other days they don't. So they will also say, fine. They see you going to work every day, whether you're sick, whether it's raining, whether it's, you know, it's snowing, you go to work every single day. So they know work is important. But you don't go to the masjid most of the time. So they don't say, okay, my father goes on and off, so it must be that must not be that important. Every little thing. Again, I tell you one of the most, I still remember, my little boy, forgive me because I don't want to, I know you want to hear hadith and ayat and you can hear from all the shiur, but I'm telling you for what worked for me and how it really changed my own perception of children. My little boy, and I told this story many times, again, Ilyasin, he was I think 2 or 3 years old and I walked into the house because I had to travel to another city. I had to go. And when I went inside, I was, you know, taking things in and out. And I walked into the washroom to grab something. And my little boy, he was always, the moment that I walked into the house, you know, he was shadowing me. If I go to the living room, he's right behind me. If I go to the, you know, dining room, he's right there. If I go to the bedroom, he's out there. If I go inside the bathroom and I'm using the bathroom, he will do i'tikaf outside the bathroom until I come out. He will not move. And I taught him the dua of entering the washroom. I still remember. So I'm traveling and I grabbed something from the washroom. I came out and I saw him, a changed child, completely changed child. I said, what's wrong? He said, how did you do it? I said, what? How did you do it? And I said, what? How did you do the dua? I said, what dua? He said, dua of entering the washroom. See, I just walked in. For him, when he's going to the washroom, he has to say, A'udhu billahi min al-khubth, and he's jumping up and down, A'udhu billahi min al-khubth, khubth khaba'id, and then he jumps because he struggles saying this. But me, he saw in and out. And he said, how did you do it? How did you say the dua that quick? And I realized he was just not shadowing me for the love that he has for his father, that he had for me. But he's also screening me. It's just like x-ray. He's observing everything that I do. And he just caught that I walked into the washroom without paying attention and saying the dua. So the best da'i, the best role model, the best example to follow is you. Is you. So make sure you don't take that lightly. Make sure you don't do that. If a mother, if a sister, for example, as soon as the husband comes home, if she's coming and yelling at him, where is the milk? Where is this? How come you don't answer your phone? How come you don't? Guess what she's going to do when she grow up? What is she going to do? She's going to treat her husband, future husband, exact the same way that you treated her father. Exact the same way. Nothing would change. And if you as a husband, if you don't take care of your wife when you come home, you know, how are you, love you? How are you, honey? Or whatever name that you name, you know, whatever name that you use. If they see that, then the boys will say, well, my father, every time he comes home, he used to bring flowers for my mother. Every time he comes home, he would do this. Every time he comes home, he would kiss my mother's forehead every time. And they will learn like that. And it would be long, you know, lasting lessons for them, even in the future. But if you come and say, where is the food? Where is the baris? Where is the biryani? You know, exactly the same thing. So how to raise happy children? Just make sure you pay attention to them. One of the things that you need to do, the last things, inshallah, I'm running out of time, but the last thing that you need to do, the last thing you need to do, always teach your children to be connected to Allah. Always. You know, you take them to the park. You say, you know what? Without Allah, we wouldn't be able to enjoy this beautiful facility. Without Allah, the weather would have been different. Without Allah, you wouldn't be here because you could have been sick. Without Allah, and make sure that they're connected to Allah in all levels. When they're playing, remind them of Allah. When they're eating, remind them of Allah. When they're not sick, remind them of Allah. When in every situation, make sure you remind them of Allah. Otherwise, they will take the ni'am of Allah for granted. They will take the ni'am of Allah for granted. And then they will not appreciate what you have or what they have. I want to stop here and conclude. If you enjoyed the talk and you liked the talk and if you thought it was beneficial, my name is Saeed Raghi. If it was bad, my name is Mufti Mink. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.